welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Ezekiel. So go grab your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
Of the prophets, you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Ezekiel is the prophet that relates more and talks more about the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah talks more about God the Father, and Isaiah talks more about God the Son. So Ezekiel does a lot of work in the spirit realm. Now, Jeremiah, he prophesied around about the same time that Ezekiel prophesied. And what God did, he had an inside-outside attack. Jeremiah was the prophet that prophesied on the inside of the walls of Jerusalem. He prophesied at home for the most part. He prophesied there in Jerusalem. Whereas Ezekiel, he's prophesying over in Babylon. Daniel and Ezekiel is going to be dealing with Babylon. But Ezekiel, he's going to be prophesying to the people. He's giving the people who have been taken in captivity, he's giving them revelation knowledge from the Lord. And sometimes God will give you revelation knowledge that you may not appreciate. And that's the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is going to be giving them revelation knowledge that they really don't appreciate. Ezekiel is going to be telling the people, don't be trusting in your religion, thinking that you in captivity just for a little while, but God is going to bring you back into the motherland. Ezekiel is going to show them that the motherland is in trouble. Not only have God judged you by bringing you over here, but God is still judging the motherland. And we see Ezekiel in chapter 4. He gave four illustrations. He gave four illustrations of how God was still bringing judgment on the children of Israel, particularly there in the motherland. Can anybody remember any of those illustrations? He gave four illustrative sermons. Can anybody remember even one of those sermons? Okay, Sister Giz? All right, give her the mic there. I think she got an answer.
He had to lay on the left side for 390 days.
That's right. He laid on the left side for 390 days. Every day was a year of captivity. And then he laid on the other side. God told him to lay on the other side for 40 days. And he was letting Judah know that you're going to get 40 days or 40 years of captivity. Amen. We got another guy right over here. What now? Okay, now that's Jeremiah. That's all right. That's all right. So Jeremiah, now think about it. Jeremiah, he was on the inside of the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what he said. He said, you know, he preached the sermon with a switch in his hand. He said, you know, God is getting ready to whip you. Amen. You know, if a person preached their first sermon with a switch in their hand, you'll never forget that first sermon. Amen. Amen. All right. But Ezekiel, remember another one? He laid on his left side, laid on his right side. Then God told him, just lay on your back and tie your hands and just be helpless. Amen. To show the utterly helplessness. You can't even help yourself. Because a lot of times people think, you know, if I just get a little more time, if you give me a little more time, you know, I figured out a lot of us, you know, a lot of reason that people don't come to Christ is they feel like that they can work it out. If I just get me a job, Reverend, just pray that I get me a job and I'll be able to make it if I just get me a. No, if sin is in your life, sin is like a little Pac-Man. Amen. So a job ain't doing you no good. It's a lot of, I used to work at the Union Gospel Mission. A lot of times guys say, you know, pastor, pray that I get me a job. Pray that I get me a job. I said, no, brother, I'm going to pray you get delivered. You need to be delivered first. Once you get delivered, then I'm going to pray that you get your job. I said, how many jobs you done had? Boy, some of the, have you noticed a lot of times people who are in sin, or got sin for life, they can get some of the best jobs. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, they're working at General Motors now. And then next thing you know, they're working at Bell Helicopter. And then they done quit that job. Then they over here, you know. I said, how in the world they get these good jobs? Jobs people, I mean, they've been trying to get for years, 20 years trying to get on that General Motors. They walk right out there, they hire them the first day. But they can't keep no job. They can't keep no job. They can't keep no job. But tonight, what I want to look at, finish looking at these illustrations, these sermons that they was like illustrative sermon. And there's three more illustrative sermons. So that'll make seven in all. So we looked at four last week. I want to look at three this week. In chapter 5, you'll see one illustrative sermon, which is the fifth illustration. And we'll see that in the first four verses. Look at what it says. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife. Take thee a Barbara razor. And cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take three balance to weight. And divide the hair. Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. And thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife. And a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind. And I will draw out a sword after them. Thou shalt also take thereof a few in numbers and bind them in thy skirt. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. All right, so what's the symbol? The symbol, he is to shave his head and he's to shave his beard and divide the hair into three parts. One part is to be burned, weighed out, so one part can be burned. One part is for the sword, and then one part is to be scattered. What's the significance? What's the significance? We see the symbol. What's the significance? The significant is, this is to predict that one third of the people in Jerusalem will die by fire. Another third will die by the sword. And another third will go into captivity. That's the significant of that. So think about it now. These people, they sitting around at the riverbank, because when we read chapter 1, you know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Ezekiel as they were sitting down there by the river of Shabar. And the people, they got their hope in their king there in Jerusalem, got their hope in the kinfolks there in Jerusalem. And they said, you know, they're going to come get us. They're going to come get us. We just need to chill out. Don't panic. Once they find out we're in trouble and where we at, they're going to come get us. They're going to come rescue us. Ezekiel come on the scene and preach the sermon saying, no, y'all ain't going to be rescued. They ain't going to come rescue you. Matter of fact, they're in trouble. God is finna send a fire over there in Jerusalem, and a third of them is getting ready to get burned up by fire. And then the other third, God is going to send Nebuchadnezzar, the sword. They're going to go down in the fight. And then the other third going to end up over here with us. Now, isn't that bad? Now, you think about it. Think about it. Let me see. Can I put it more in modern time or something, not necessarily modern time, something that you can identify with? How many of y'all remember the movie Roots? Kuta Kinte. Everybody can remember that. All right, Kuta, my name is Kuta. But that man beat him enough, boy. He said, my name is Toby. We'll go with Toby now. Yeah. But you think about it. But one thing I like about him, he really never gave up on that idea of freedom. He never gave up on that idea of freedom. Until eventually, you know, his ancestors, they got it. But think about how the slaves was brought here. And let's say they are here in this strange land. And their whole focus is they're going to come and rescue us. Our people, they're going to come and they're going to rescue us. They're going to get us out of this mess. Once they find out where we at, they're going to come and rescue us. They're going to get in some boats. They're going to send the army. They're going to rescue us. That was the attitude that the people had there in captivity in Ezekiel's day. They say, okay, yeah, we over here 1,000 miles away from home, but once they find out where we at, they're going to come and rescue us. But then this preacher, rather than him coming and preaching a happy sermon and making us feel good, he come there with something depressing. And he gets your attention with all these crazy illustrations. You know, one day you're walking down the street and you see him laying down. Said, what you laying down for? Then he tells you why he's laying down. Because God says we're going to be judged for 40 years. So I'm going to lay down for 40 days. Isn't that something? And now he got the people's attention again because he done shaved his head. He done bald himself. He got a bald head. Now, today, bald heads are popular. But it used to be, even 40 years ago, bald heads was not that popular. Hello, somebody. Is I'm telling the truth? Is I'm telling the truth? You know, now once Michael Jordan found out he couldn't comb his hair and didn't have good hair, he went on and, and he was going to be on television a lot. Tell the truth. Y'all know the truth. He looked a whole lot better once he combed it. I mean, once he went on and shaved it. Amen. Because he really looked like he was from North Carolina or wherever he was from when he had a bunch of hair on his head. Hello, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. And it became kind of popular after that. It became kind of popular. Amen, amen. You know, once even men, you know, begin to start getting gray hair, they just go ahead and shave it, you know, just go and shave it. Hello, somebody. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. You don't see a lot of gray hair men's today like you used to. You used to see a lot of gray-haired men. But you don't really see a lot of gray-haired men anymore. You know, they got a lot of, they got some stuff called just for men, you know. Well, you put some just for men. So, hello, sir. That'll help out one thing. But if that just for men won't help out, then you go on and just, you know, just shave it, you know. The just shave it'll work out too. Amen. Amen. But Ezekiel, back in Bible days, now men didn't wear long hair, but they did have hair and beards, particularly beards. That was part of their masculinity. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And certain tribes in the world, there are certain things that men do to kind of show masculinity. I had an African friend, and he had like some marks right here, some scars, look like scars, and he says that's my tribal marks. That's all the men in the tribe. They get that. I said, oh Lord, have mercy. I probably wouldn't have been able to get it then. That's kind of close to the temple there. Amen. I ain't gonna let no. Cause when I was a little boy, they said it. You know, if they hit you in the temple hard, you know, they can kill you and stuff like that. And I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, if they've been, you know, taking a razor blade and cutting me on my, I don't know. I would have been running. I probably would have ran to America. Yeah, I just don't know. Yeah. But there's a lot of different, you know, culture kind of things that people do to describe the masculinity. But just think, in the Jewish culture, the men would wear the beard and they would have hair, but it wouldn't be real long hair. Now, ladies wear long hair because that was their glory. That was a symbol of their glory. But men, they did have beards and they did have hair. But just think, Ezekiel done shaved his, not just cut his. He done shaved it. That gets your attention. Yeah. See, if you walked in here on Sunday morning and I walked out with a bald head, I came to the pulpit with a bald head. Y'all didn't see me in Sunday school. I pull a grand entrance right before at 12 o'clock. I'll come through those doors right there with my bald head. What y'all think? When I get everybody's attention, they say, what would folks be saying? Is that the pastor? What's the pastor doing? Did he really shave his head? No, this is a skit. You know, that's a skit the pastor doing. That's something else. He got a lit rug or something on his head or something. That's an attention getter. That's an attention getter. Ezekiel got the attention. And he used that. He used his hair to illustrate what was going to happen to the people. All right. So that was his fifth illustration. And then look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, we'll see his sixth illustration. And we'll see the symbol of it in verse number 1 and 2. Amen. And I want you, when you go back home, I want you to finish reading chapter 5, because chapter 5 is pretty tough. It's pretty tough of how the people are going to be judged. As a matter of fact, look at just verse number 10, what's going to happen to the people. It says, therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers. Man, ain't that something? Mm-hmm. What are we going to have tonight, daddy? Man, that's something to think about. That they're going to be eating one another. Now, you think about that. You done saw somebody eat their daddy? Amen. Folks ain't going to be sleeping too good. You think about that. Folks done started eating one another? You going to sleep good? I'm not going to sleep too good. No. Look at what it says. Therefore, the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their father. They're going to be eating them in the midst of thee. Isn't that something? In other words, it's not going to be something they hide behind the barn eating people. They're going to be passing around. Huh? You want a leg? We got some toes here. You see what I'm saying? In the midst. That's what they're going to be having. We're going to eat this person up. In other words, they're going to get into cannibalism. And I will execute judgment in thee, and the whole remnants of thee will I scatter into all the winds. And so you can read, boy, that chapter 5 is pretty tough. It's pretty tough. Amen. Of how those folks are going to be judged. Then when you come to chapter 6, Ezekiel again used symbolism. Look at verse 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the river and to the valley. Behold, I will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. All right. And so think about what's the symbol. Ezekiel is going and he's preaching. And he's preaching to the mountain. He's talking to the mountain. He's talking to the river. Now, you sitting down watching somebody over there talk to a mountain. What you think about that person talking to that mountain? Huh? He done went crazy. This guy's going out here talking to mountains. He's looking towards Jerusalem, and he's preaching to the mountains. If you saw a person going out here, let's say you're out here, and out there on 20, on Highway 20, there's a big hill out here on Highway 20 between Beltline and what is that? Crocker Hills, where they got a lot of people. They take pictures. They get out their car and they take pictures of. They got a big old Texas sign out there. Yeah, near 408. That's near 408. They got the big Texas sign, and they got the blue bonnets. And so they be out there in the blue bonnets. I told my wife, we need to go on out there and take some pictures in them blue bonnets, you know, the Texas blue bonnets. Amen. I'd be scared of the red bugs in the blue bonnets. Amen. That's why I ain't going sitting down. I tried to change a tie once just on the side of the road. My wife would tell you. Man, them red bugs got me. Lord have mercy.
Ooh! What happened? Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bibleway Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.